I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Last week on the Poison Rana Patreon, we were joined by John Ceno to talk all about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in a brand new episode of Reviews from the Sick.
And this is when he discusses head cheese. Now, I've never been to Texas, but is this something that still goes on? Do the people eat head cheese? Having it described the way this guy describes it definitely does not make me want to eat meat. But and that's another thing this movie did is made a lot of vegetarian.
Is it like I can't say I'm actually really aware what head cheese is, but is it basically gelatin?
Jelly meatloaf is basically what it is.
Okay, right. I mean, we've evolved that. I eat Haribo all the time. Like, that's essentially the same idea, right? It's
that sugar and color in it.
So, Davey, you being the resident chef, would you be open to maybe making a nice dish of head cheese?
I wouldn't make it, but you know, I'd try it, maybe.
Get this show plus NXT retro reviews, wrestling reviews, movie reviews, and so much more over at patreon.com/poisonrana. And it's only $5. So what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us at postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you're using. And of course,
we are live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, YouTube room. How are we doing?
Hello, everybody. All the postmarks out there, all the NXT friends.
Friends.
We are your NXT friends, and we're here today to chat about NXT Halloween Havoc.
Oh, yes. The spookiest event of the year.
Right. Very spooky, bone crunching, blood curdling. Very, very spooky. Very, very scary.
And the first time, I believe, Halloween Havoc's been on the road since the closure of WCW.
Right, a PLE.
Yeah.
Right, we've had the TV specials for quite a few years, but now it's a pay-per-view again. So cool to see that back and them on the road as well. So, yes, welcome. We're going to chat all about some Halloween Havoc. You're in the spacesuit.
I'm a spaceman because I'm a star.
That's right.
You're a skeleton.
Wearing the new Chop Tees varsity jacket.
Oh yes, it's beautiful.
It's funny, I wanted to wear my costume and it's that exact space outfit, and I was like, I just will wear whatever because I didn't think we were going to dress up. And then you explained to me today, hey, look what I got yesterday. I'm like, damn it, we would have been matching.
I didn't think about dressing up. It wasn't until people were retweeting Halloween Havocs of the past where we've done costume, where I was like, oh yeah, we should do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's comfy as well. I'm pretty comfy.
I've recycled the same costume. Like, I do space cowboy, like the shiny glasses, cowboy hat to match, and then a fanny pack. And it's just so much fun to party in that I've just continued it to be my gimmick. So now we have matching.
Do you work for the same space company?
I think I might work for a different one. Yesterday, a few people at the club.
You're a space rival?
Yeah. Someone with a NASA one came up to me and they were like, or we're not on the same.
Oh, they're all big headed.
Yeah, they were like,
I work for NASA.
I spent the extra 10 to get the NASA logo on mine. I'm like, yeah, I didn't. So yeah,
you're like, well, you're a loser.
Yeah, yes. I'm like, well, I have a cowboy hat.
Well, I'm going to talk about NXT tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing with your life?
So hope everyone's having a happy spooky season out there. For those who might not know who we are, Braden and Davey, we're up next, but we're also Poison Rana. So search that in your podcast app or social media and give us a little follow there, because we do lots and lots of other podcasts. Sundays, we usually go live during the afternoon and then chat about all the other wrestling outside of NXT, like AEW, Raw, SmackDown, etc., etc. So give us a little follow there while you're listening. Also, check out our patreon.com/poisonrana, because $5 gets you access for a whole month to hundreds of shows, including tons of wrestling. We did a best match ever, Motor City Machine Guns, a 50th anniversary of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, plus a Halloween Havoc 1995 review we just put out this week, and best match ever, Abyss, coming out this week as well.
Yeah, recorded later today. Yeah. So yeah, we'll be putting up that up in the next couple of days. And as always, give a follow, our free feed as well. Just search Poison Rana, because every Halloween we review one of the Halloween franchise movies. And we are up to Halloween H2O, the seventh installment in the series.
Yes. The highest honor and praise we've ever gotten in our podcast careers is a one John Pollock telling us that it's his favorite series, is every year he loves to listen to us review Halloween each year. So yeah, last year we did Halloween 6 with Paul Rudd. It's in our archives of all the Halloween movies, and coming for free this week, Halloween H2O. Very excited to chat about this one. So that'll be out for all our listeners on the free feed. So again, search your podcast apps and everything, and check out all the other shows that we do, because we don't just talk about NXT. We do a whole lot of other stuff.
We do always recorded.
And we love to celebrate Halloween. So yeah, if you're in the celebrations, whether it was this weekend or this upcoming week, if you're doing wrestling costumes, definitely send in. We'd love to see them and everything. I know you're working on something this week.
Yep. I was meant to do some arts and crafts today for my costume, but got a little caught up watching Abyss.
That's right.
And getting my trench coat for Loomis Night.
That's right. Another quick plug is this Wednesday, Devil's Night, is Loomis Night. We're going to do a Poison Rana party, and we're having a Halloween watch party of Halloween, the original, and Halloween 2. And we got some drink sponsorships and free drinks, free beer, and some costumes. And we're going to attempt to break the Guinness World Record of the most people dressed up like Dr. Loomis.
I think we might have 10 Loomises.
10 Loomisi.
Loomisi, Loomises. Yeah. I mean, come on, listen to us. Who better to review Halloween Havoc than us?
Yeah.
We're going all out.
We're really into Halloween. We got a few nights of going out this week. You worked last night, but you kind of got to cut loose a bit. You were dressed up in a space outfit, so you had some fun.
Yeah. Had a pretty fun shift.
Did you see any good costumes this year?
I haven't really. No, not yet. We did go out on, we went out on Friday night. We went to the East End, and there was a great Marge Simpson.
Okay. Nice. Like full hair, everything.
Painted yellow, big blue hair, the green dress, the pearls, all that. Looked pretty good. Yeah.
Nice.
That was a pretty good one. And a very lifelike Post Malone, I saw.
Okay. I mean, that one's pretty easy, just but always tired,
looked very very like him.
So he looked tired.
So so that was pretty good. And we all dressed up at work yesterday, and
I saw a lot of that movie I brought up to you, The Substance. I saw a lot of different versions of people from different parts of that movie, so I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. I saw some great Mario Party, like really insane Mario costumes that they all turn into a Mario Party, like
nice
on stripper poles at one point, which was hilarious. But lots of Beetlejuice. You haven't seen Beetlejuice 2 yet, but Bob is like a real popular character from this movie that I was thinking about it, but then I'm just like, I'm just buying the costume. But there was a lot of people dressed as that, so I was like, okay, at least like I didn't just jump in as one of those things. But that was clearly one of the like really popular ones. And then I saw a lot of X-Men.
Okay.
I guess the 97 show, and the movies or whatever.
Deadpool,
like,
and all that.
Yeah, lots of Wolverines from the movie. Like, clearly, obviously, would be.
See, fun. I wanted to wear my Deadpool costume for work, but the problem is the gloves are attached, and trying to pour drinks in slippery spandex is. Yeah, not the best.
Yeah.
Although we did do Halloween karaoke last night, and struggling trying to think of something.
Karaoke.
I ended up doing Be Prepared from The Lion King, which I wouldn't say is necessarily spooky.
Right.
But afterwards I was like, oh, that worked, because you've got all the evil laughs throughout the the song. So I'm adding that to my rotation now.
Excellent. I like that. I've seen people sing that at karaoke before. It's good. Mm. Disney songs are always.
Disney is always.
Halloween good. Songs as well. Am I going to try to convince you to go to karaoke after the show?
Tonight? We'll see. We'll see. I think on actual Halloween, we're pretty tempted.
Everyone who ever's in the chat right now, convince David and Graham to go out.
You're not working in the morning. Like, I'm working in the morning. I'm working the morning after that. I'm then doing NXT after that and then recording Wednesday and then back to work on Thursday. Come so on. You've got like 4 days off now. So, like, yeah, of course you want to go to karaoke.
It'll be scaryoke. You can wear your costume again.
I mean, I'm wearing this anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you don't have to take it off. I'm ready to go. But let's dive into Halloween Havoc. Oh, wait, we can't.
We can't dive in right yet.
We have some big news.
We've got some huge news.
If you are listening, maybe you're in the chat right now or you're listening, hopefully not driving, go to chop-tease.com/poisonrana to not only see the great varsity jackets, the great snapbacks, everything we got going on, but we have a new merch launch, a merch drop, if you will. If you're feeling a little froggy style, check out all of our new merchandise. May I present to you the Lucha Frog of Doom. Yes, a whole new t-shirts, hoodies, and hats available, designed by the amazing Alec Hugill, who does a bunch of illustrations for a ton of different wrestlers. We linked up with him, and he created an awesome looking design for Poison Rana. And we're so happy about this one. And then Dickie Bird has taken it and just made incredible merch drop here of, like I said, different t-shirts, hoodies, and everything. So if you want to support your favorite small time independent podcasters, this is a great way, and you'll look very froggy while doing so.
Yeah, this design's awesome. I think something ourselves and I know Dickie as well, we kind of want to have merch that people will wear and it doesn't necessarily scream I'm a wrestling fan or whatever, just looks cool. Mm-hmm. And something that you'd wear out maybe. And I think this design fits that perfectly. We're still rocking with the pinks and the greens and all that, but we've now got like crew neck sweaters available, which looks so nice. Amazing. And especially now a lot of us are moving to those cooler months. Definitely rock those crew necks, rock the hoodies. We've got the baseball tees as well. It looks awesome. I'm really proud of these.
Yeah. Check out all the stuff. Again, this is how you can support your fave podcasters. And there's all sorts of different stuff. Like you said, crew necks, hoodies, and everything, but this design is just so sweet. So I'm going to be just rocking my own merch as always, cause I'm so impressed with this stuff. So go check it out. And I promise it looks awesome and fitting for spooky season. And ordering with us at Chop Tees, you get your stuff pretty quick. So
yeah,
check it out and buy some merch. And if you do, please send in photos, whether it's in the Facebook group, the Twitter, or whatever. Like, love to see you rocking the frog.
Absolutely.
Wherever you may go, especially if you go to wrestling shows, definitely appreciate it. So we'll be rocking the swag at full gear in a few
weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, now we can talk about NXT.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. Let's talk about NXT Halloween Havoc from Hershey, Pennsylvania at Hershey Park.
Yeah, we had a great shot of Hershey Park as this show started, and it looks awesome. I know when they announced they were doing Halloween Havoc here, we kind of looked at the drive and and were thinking about it. This looks like a place I definitely want to go to. It looked really cool.
Yeah, so this is the Giant Center, but it's right near this Hershey Park, and they showed this like drone shot of, they got like Halloween stuff going on and like, you know, like Halloween Haunt or whatever they do. And it looked pretty fun. And we kind of see an earlier today of a bunch of the wrestlers showing up with their gear, walking through Hershey Park, as they call it, the sweetest place in the world.
Yes.
What a great tagline for Hershey Park.
Yes.
Very smart.
It looks, according to WrestleTix, just before the show started, 5,011 tickets distributed. Mm-hmm. So pretty nice crowd as well for Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, and I think they were invested and knew kind of what was going on. Yeah,
it seemed
they got the net a little bit here with this. We get a great video package. At first, I thought it was the voice of Shotzi Blackheart, who usually hosts the Halloween Havoc, but instead it was Gigi Dolin who's back here with a great narration of spooky stuff and mayhem and chaos, and the wheel has spoken,
as it kind of highlights our matches here tonight and says that the inner demons will be awoken.
Yeah, Gigi's been out injured for quite a few months now. I wonder if this is an indication that she's possibly getting ready for a return. Kind of breaking tradition, though. She did this opening video, but normally in the past Halloween Havocs, we've actually had a host kind of in arena for the thing. But this is very much PLE style, five matches, commercials, move on.
Yeah, this didn't have any like live part or costumes or changes like that for the host at least. But yeah, I liked when Shotzi did it, but this video was pretty cool too. So nice job. Nice job also to the ring announcer, Mike Rome. Mm-hmm. It was in a very nice Beetlejuice suit. And even with a little green in his hair.
Little green hair.
Yeah, looked very, very nice. Looked very sharp. To kick things off, we start with our North American Championship match. The champion, the new champ, Tony D'Angelo, in the rematch, putting it on the line against Oba Femi in a tables, ladders, and scares match. And this is just starts right from the jump where Tony attacks Oba right in like the introductions here as they start to fight. There's a spear from Tony right away, and then Oba rolls out of the ring only for Tony to spear him again, this time through the barricade, the WWE special, I call it. We get a "We Want Tables" chant basically like a minute into this match.
Even if that, like 30 seconds, this
"We Want Tables."
Come on, guys.
Wrestling fans, can we not be better than that? Like, also, you know, the match says tables, ladders.
You're getting it all.
You know you're getting it.
Patience,
just
people.
Wait like 30 seconds before you do that. They would somewhat, I guess, redeem themselves. They just like to, certain fans, some crowds like to see themselves win because they really love pumpkins, as we'll get into later. But also tables, but not just NXT. Just like enough with the "We Want Tables" stuff. Yeah. Like it's
retire it.
Yeah, please. There's then Tony who grabs a chair and throws it at Oba's head, but Oba comes back and choke slams Tony onto the chair. Very nice here, but only a two count. Then there's a ladder is brought out as the crowd then yet again chant "We Want Tables." And then Oba does set up a table in the corner and tries to run at Tony, but he moves out of the way. But then it's Oba who eventually counters like the counter here and basically pounces or like running uppercuts.
It was a running uppercut, kind of Cesaro, Claudio style. Yeah. But because he's so huge as well, it was almost like a pounce. I don't think I've ever seen someone uppercutted through a table, but this looked great.
So this sends Tony right through the table. The table just like explodes here. This was pretty great. And then that's only a two count here. Somehow Tony goes to the corner to look for something, but we see Oba's in the opposite corner and finds a crowbar. So Tony was hiding a crowbar, but forgot which part of the ring it was at. And Oba finds it first, but he grabs a chair. So Oba's now swinging the crowbar and Tony's blocking it with the chair, kind of like a sword fight with a shield here. Eventually, Oba now bends the crowbar over Tony's face. But Tony comes back with a few chops and then a spine buster. Oba comes back with an F5 kinda. And Tony seemed to be really like selling this knee as the ref was trying to like talk to him here. I'm not sure if there was an injury or not.
At first, I thought it was kind of a mistake, but for where it went, I think it was deliberate. Him like landing on his leg, his knee buckling, and that allows Oba to kind of take control and strap him to the turnbuckle.
So he uses the zip ties, is what we saw on Tuesday night when he zip ties. You can watch as he beat up the family. But as he does, the family come running out here and Oba starts to beat them up as well. When now Rizzo's alone as he took out Luca and Stax, and Oba just starts to stalk Rizzo here, just staring at her, slowly walking towards her as Tony is screaming, "No, leave her alone." And then Oba glances at the table set up and kind of insinuates that he's going to put Rizzo through the table. He then tries to put her through the ladder at one point when Tony finally breaks free and attacks Oba and spears him through the ring to the outside through a table.
Yeah, this is like the biggie spear dive move. Look great.
This was pretty great. But he gets Oba back in the ring, but Oba somehow gets back up and hits the pop-up power bomb, but Tony kicks out. And this is when the family get back up. They attack Oba again, and Stax and Luca hit the shatter machine, which Vic actually called it that as well, but with a
onto
chair.
The chair. Yeah,
very nice. Allowing then Tony to hit a spine buster through a table for the 1, 2, 3. And Tony D'Angelo pins Obafemi to retain the North American title in 15 minutes, 20 seconds.
I love this. I think this feud has done great things for both guys. I think it's allowed Oba to have longer matches, longer singles matches. Kind of, he was almost hiding a little bit to start with. He did a lot of those multi-man matches, and his spots were kind of limited to those power spots, carrying everyone in his shoulders, that sort of thing. Whereas this has allowed him to have extended matches, and we can see that he can go. And Tony, I think it's made his character the most complete it's ever been. It's kept all the fun mafioso stuff, but he's way less cartoony, I feel, than he used to be. And just really, where I think when he challenged for Ilya for the title at Stand and Deliver, it just, he didn't feel right at the time to be going for a major title. Now I think he does. I think the whole act with the family works really well. The crowd were just eating this up. I think these two have great chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, the last match was awesome a few weeks ago, and this was, if not even better than that. I mean, this may be my match of the night from this show. I thought they did a lot of the fun tables and ladder gimmicks, the gimmick ladder as well that was busted and everything. So there was great back and forth. And then it maybe got a little weird when he's like kind of almost going to attack Rizzo, but like classic wrestling, right?
It's one of those things where I think it's trying to sell what's going on to the audience. Like it's like theater, right? You need to project it bigger, but it's always awkward when you've got a camera there as well, because I thought it brought the pace of the match down a bit, where he's kind of stalking and you're going, okay, what's happening? Like waiting for the moment to happen. I think I could see both the family and Oba on the main roster.
Oh yeah.
Within the year.
Easily.
And I'd almost like the family to move up first and Oba coming up, taking Tony out, sort of continuing this feud almost onto the main roster, because they work really well with each other.
Yeah, like I wonder if like the family, they bring up Tony with them, because I don't know if it's being beaten into submission, but the like over the top, you said it, the mafia character has been a bit more toned down and a bit more realistic. You can still do goofy putting people in the trunk stuff, but on the main roster, I think it could get over, right? Like it's a classic character that we don't have in modern times except him right now. So your Tony Soprano character could definitely get over to a WWE audience.
It's whether you want to move up the whole group. Yeah. I think Rizzo could probably do with staying in NXT a bit longer. We don't see her wrestle a whole lot. So maybe you move up Tony to start and gradually bring the family up, like we've seen in the past with like Legado and that kind of act.
But and same with Oba. Like he would be great whenever that happens, because he's such a beast. Like some of the spots he was doing, this was crazy.
What do you see next for Oba? We do have a babyface champion. Do you see him against Trick at some point in the next few months?
Yeah, I hope so. Like he should be the champ at some point. Like I think that's why we got him away from this title, because he needs to be one of the more highlighted. He tends to have, you know, he's gotten so much better, and he just keeps getting better and better. So we'll can't wait to see what he does next, because I would strap him up with the NXT title. We go to, I don't know if it's because we're watching on the network, but we get a great long video package for Crown Jewel, where I could be wrong, but is this Cody Rhodes in the desert in Saudi Arabia just walking around?
Yeah.
Saudi Prince, American Nightmare.
And Hulk Cody Hogan Rhodes. Voiceover. Oh,
Hulk
and
Hogan. Stuff. Yeah, of course.
Great.
So Hogan, you just see Hogan trying to rip his shirt in the back. We go backstage. This was interesting. NXT callback here. Lexus King is asked by the interviewer here about, has he found a corner man for his upcoming Heritage Cup match on Tuesday night, this NXT this week. And he's talking about how Dempsey comes from a great wrestling family, and I myself have been struggling to find a cornerman because everyone just compares me to my father, but I'm not him. I'm my own man. And I've been struggling, but I don't know what to do. When we hear a voice interrupt him, excuse me, young man, I'll be your cornerman. And in walks William Regal back here on NXT and says, I've been a big fan of your father, big fan of you, and I knew your father. I'll be in your corner on Tuesday.
Yeah, he says the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Right. So it is announced Charlie Dempsey, William Regal's son, taking on Lexus King, Brian Pillman's son, with William Regal in the corner. So interesting.
Do you see Lexus King going back to his old ways with Regal helping him to cheat right. here over his own son?
Or is William Regal going back to his old ways?
And screws
yeah.
Pillman to have Charlie.
I kind of want that. Look, LeBron James helped get his son Bronny onto the Lakers, and they're breaking all sorts of crazy, like, what, out of Guinness records or whatever, of having the first father and son not only playing in the same season, but playing on the same team. Why can't we have Willie Regal and Willie Regal Jr. on the same team in wrestling? Maybe not wrestling.
Do you see this as an extended thing for Regal, or do you think it's more just a one and done?
It would be cool. Is it too cheap to just put Regal with his kid?
See, I'm thinking back. Let's go through Regal canon here. When he when he wrote himself out of AEW with the, you know, he screwed over Mox, then MJF murdered him.
And I loved it.
Then he sent in a video from Beyond the Grave saying, that was my last lesson I wanted to teach you, BCC. Now, he could screw his own son out of this.
Yeah.
To teach his son a lesson.
Yeah, maybe that's
You know, it could way. Be a more of an extended thing that way. I kind of prefer the pairing of Regal with Pillman for now.
Okay.
King.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, interesting. We were saying on Tuesday, we were kind of theorizing who it could be. I thought it would be Oro with the tie-in of that feud going on. But yeah, this has my interest.
Absolutely.
They've kind of got me interested in Lexus King the last couple of weeks. He's had a bit of a 180, I think.
Yeah, like this whole little babyface storyline arc has actually been working for him to kind of see what else he can do.
But it was that line, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, which makes me think we're going to have some skullduggery going on.
Yeah. What's sad is William Regal won't be on commentary
on
NXT. That's classic Regalism.
Just needs to hear about his daughters and his lizards.
His lizards, for sure. Yeah, that's not a euphemism. No. If you know, you know. He loves lizards for some reason, but bless him. I love Regal, and I think he could add a lot, even being an on-screen character too. So I am interested to see what happens. Mm. But again, like, it's kind of cheap if you just pair him with his own kid, but at the same time, I'm like, how else is Charlie Dempsey going to learn how to retire the American Dragon Bryan Danielson when that happens? So because it doesn't look like he's going back to AEW.
No,
I don't know. That yes trademark was a real thing with WWE.
Who knows?
Possibly. Yeah send him to NXT.
Learn where the hard cam is.
Danielson. We learned how to do something. Sean was his coach anyways, right? So it's a full circle there. We get a recap earlier on the pre-show. We saw Fatal Influence. They're spinning the wheel, making a deal. And the Tuesday, they spun it on Tuesday, but they didn't announce what it was. Dealer's Choice. So here, Fatal Influence announced that it's going to be a gauntlet match for Kalani has to face all three of them.
I don't know why we didn't think of this.
Yeah,
it makes smart. A whole lot of sense.
Yeah, three heels in a faction. Get Dealer's Choice of any match.
I mean, they could have gone a step further and just done a handicap match.
I guess
handicap no tag match.
Yeah, handicap no match or DQ
Soraya rules match.
What's like if title can change hands on a DQ and then they just attack each other and get DQ'd?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a few different things they could have done, but a gauntlet seemed to work out anyway. So yeah, we go to our next match. Cora Jade comes out, and she's dressed like one of the Shining twins from the movie, and which then lets you know that Roxanne is also matching here. So we got some Halloween costumes throughout the show, and I thought these were great as well. Cora and Roxanne looking great as the Come Play With Us Forever and Ever. And they're taking on Stephanie Vaquer, who's got a bit of a Day of the Dead sort of thing. I'm sure people are going to be, it's looks like
Thunder Rosa from that thing or whatever.
Because of the half face paint thing, but I thought she looked great. And then out comes Julia in a pretty sweet, like, what, scorpion type outfit here with an actual, like, scorpion on her face as well, like gold thing.
Gotta give credit to the, like, seamstresses WWE, because everyone's gear just looks great, I think. And the women's gear especially, these costumes, like, you know, making a costume that is also wrestling gear worthy or whatever. I thought they all
looked
great.
Yeah, everyone looked great in this matchup. So we got this tag match here, a bit of a strange one because Roxanne's not having the title on the line, but here she is in a tag match against two of the newer big stars of the women's division. And this starts off with Vicaire and Cora. She's getting the best of her, but eventually Perez tags in and Vicaire hits this like face buster. And then Julia and her like do this double teams with a 619 and then like a double elbow. And then they're putting in double submissions on both of them as both women are trying to reach for the ropes here. But kind of a good little first showcase of like what these two are working really well together as a team. I'd say both teams actually working well together. And I mean, this is a lot for Cora because she's been out for so long, at least it feels like it. And she's coming into like a whole new different world, essentially. So I feel like she had a lot to kind of step up to in this match. The referee is like in the ring and not telling Cora to leave, and Booker's getting mad about it. So he's calling the ref a rookie here. He's like, who is this ref? Is he a rookie? And Vic's like, no, this guy's been working for us for a while. And he'll go back to calling him that. Cora tags in and locks in a headlock, so not the most exciting way to impress, but eventually Vicaire comes back and hits a Meteora in the corner and then a springboard high crossbody. But as soon as Julia and Stephanie are back in the ring, both Roxanne and Cora hit a double super kick, and then Perez does a double like tope to the outside onto both of them, as then Cora hits the coffin drop essentially to the outside onto everyone as well. Back in the ring, there's a beautiful, like almost like the Gargano escape, the spin around satellite face buster.
Oh, yeah.
Cross
it's,
face.
It's very like Mello does as well with the real snappy face palm at the end.
Pretty nasty here onto Stephanie, but eventually she gets out of it. She hits an avalanche Frankensteiner because it's Halloween Havoc off the top for a two count. And then Cora's in with a Swanton bomb. Julia's in with this like spinning shoulder breaker Rikishi driver thing. I don't know what
It was like a spinning Michinoku driver.
Yeah.
It looked really good.
Pretty awesome here. And then Julia also hits an avalanche butterfly suplex, which then sets up Stephanie to hit this insane corkscrew moonsault splash type.
It was like the spiral tap, but backwards. So ending in a senton on your back, but looked
sky
really great.
Twister something. I don't know what it was, but she pins Roxanne Perez. That's right. She pins the champion here. And 14 minutes, 15 seconds in a pretty fun match.
I think she heard us say, she's great, but that finish is not.
Yeah.
And okay.
Yeah.
Hold my beer.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
I thought this was good. I think, you've got three of the best wrestlers in the company here, and Cora's been out for a long, long time. And you're right. It is a bit of a big task to not only this be your first match back, but keep up with these people. And I didn't think she looked bad at all here. Roxanne and Julia, I think they did a lot to wet your whistle of wanting the singles matches, especially with Roxanne against Julia and Roxanne against Stephanie. I know we've had the Julia match, but it was that first CW week and it was kind of short on time. And I think there's definitely a bigger PLE match down the line. And Stephanie's just looked fantastic so far. So I see for quite a few months, actually, variations of these four and the fifth, who we'll talk about in a second, coming out of it. But I thought it was a pretty fun tag.
Yeah, I'd say that I don't want to say like Cora didn't necessarily like impress, but she still did some fun stuff in here, again, considering who she's in the ring with. And I think I got really into this, actually. Like, I really love Julia. I think Stephanie, instantly, I'm like, wow, you are very impressive. And like this move as well. Like, a lot of people do these kinds of moves and sometimes they don't look as pretty, or you never actually like connect or land on the person.
No.
Whereas this looked like she landed on her and pinned her. So pinning the champ is always like a fun stipulation. And you mentioned like going towards deadline, like it should be for the title instead.
Yeah. So we have Zarya come out.
Yeah. So the lights go out here and Zarya, the video plays Delta, and it kind of cuts to her in like a box seat in the arena here as she's watching and laughing, and there's like lights on her, but looks very spooky for Halloween Havoc. And like, kind of setting the tone that if we have all these different people, that if that match what the Survivor,
the Iron Survivor. So in the past it's been to crown the number one contender. I think it should be for the title, and I could see Roxanne holding onto this title for quite a few months, to be honest.
Right.
And because I think you can have you can have the Iron Survivor. And quite often in those multi-person matches, the heel normally sneaks out that victory. And then I think you can have Julia and Stephanie for a number one contenders match. And I think you could do the Julia rematch. I think you can do the Stephanie match, possibly even Cora and Roxanne at some point. But I don't think we need to rush crowning one of the new women yet. And I mean, I think you could have it until Stand and Deliver, where you finally have someone knock off Roxanne. Because I think you've got enough time. And Deadline, if you do put all five of these women in this Iron Survivor, which I think will be a crazy match.
Yeah, it would be nice.
I mean, I think NXT have, they've stumbled on something quite great in that match. It's, they've always been a lot of fun. It can prolong these feuds for the foreseeable future, I think.
Like, Rox was pinned by Steph, so like she should get a title shot in the near future, if not the next PLE. But I think putting the Iron Survivor for the title so that Rox is in the match would like make the match just like insane.
We could do Stephanie and Rox at the 2300 show, perhaps.
Right, I mean, that's in a week or two, but
and then that sets up the five women for the Iron Survivor, maybe.
But yeah, but this was good. Like again, Stephanie Vaquer and Julia coming into NXT, like proving why they got all this buzz around them, because so far, so good. Very impressed seeing them and working great as a tag team. And with that tease of with the Sky Pirates on Tuesday as well, like there's so much different avenues.
I mean, that's a match we could have for the 2300 as well.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Leone in the chat says Zarya with the wall debut. Yes, the how it cuts to her like
just standing
with the lights,
there.
Yeah, and the zoom in, like she's just standing there. Yeah. Love the wall. We go to this video. I don't know if this was necessarily like on the network or Peacock or whatever, but for us, because we're watching on the network, we got this Halloween boogeyman thing where they had all these WWE superstars trying to guess what was in this box without them seeing, but it was actually the boogeyman's head.
Would you want people just blind feeling your face touching with their hands?
Imagine they like didn't wash their
hands. Yeah, I was going to say, I hope they washed their hands
just
doing
a little
it.
Weird, but funny.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, just the boogeyman getting his face touched up by people. It was kind of funny. So that was great. We go backstage, Javon Evans and Cedric Alexander, they're talking, and Javon mentions like, hey, do you think I should have slapped Nathan Frazier on Tuesday? And Cedric says, nah, I mean, like, you know, you don't have to think like that. Like, it's not like that. And I know like you wanted to have a bit of an edge and attitude, and look at it this way. If you didn't do it, then we wouldn't have a title shot. And we do now. So, you know, maybe I need to slap people more often. Mm. And they kind of laugh it off. And then they say, but let's focus on getting these tag titles.
I didn't think Javon seemed too excited about tagging with Cedric, to be honest.
Like, yeah, all right. Yeah. But I mean, the match does sound pretty good.
It'll be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Fraxium have barely missed, to be honest.
Yeah. And then it cuts to Vic and Book. Vic wearing a David S. Pumpkin suit Halloween
thing. Nice, yeah.
And then he's talking about like that match. And then I believe he calls Booker Unk. And Booker's like, yo, don't call me Unk, Doug. I'm not your uncle. And Vic's like, okay, then. And Booker is just about to like smack him there for a second. We get a recap of earlier in the night. Busted opens Dave LaGreca and Bully Ray here. And they're kind of doing the pre-show in the crowd and hosting and talking about the matches. When it showed Ridge Holland kind of interrupting and saying like, hey, I'm going to like beat up Andre Chase tonight. And Bully's like, yo, why are you interrupting me? Which will come into play a bit later on here. But goes into the next match, a video for Chase U. If you've been following Chase U, the story of Ridge, the tag title victory, the turn, the loss, all that stuff. It's all culminating to this ambulance match. As Andre Chase returns to take on Ridge Holland. Ridge comes out. He's wearing a spooky Halloween mask. He looks like he went to Dollar Tree or Dollarama.
It was very much, oh, I'm going to a Halloween party and I haven't bought a costume. Let's just pick up anything from Dollarama.
Andre Chase, though, definitely stepped it up. You know, he always wrestles in the red Chase U sweater, which is, I mean, that's just a feat on its own. But here, it's 1-2 on Andre's coming for you as it's Andre Krueger?
Yeah, the like red and green striped sweater.
So it's a Chase U Freddy Krueger.
But this was actually like I saw it up close, more of a knitted sweater. I don't know how I'm hot just sitting here talking about wrestling right now. How are you wrestling in wool knitted sweaters. It's ridiculous.
Also, for any of the sneakerheads, sneakerheads may have recognized also his shoes matched. He had like these Freddy Krueger shoes on that matched his gear. But yeah, Andre Krueger. See what I did there?
Yes.
Because the U. we start off, this is an ambulance match. Shout out to the retro ambulance they got here.
Yeah.
This was like from Halloween. This ambulance, like this is like a psych ward ambulance. This is like a hearse, essentially, like the Ghostbusters car almost here. So Andre and Ridge start fighting. Andre just starts attacking him right away. Ridge right away tries to throw him into the ambulance, but he's blocking it. Andre then grabs a fire extinguisher and starts to spray it all in the face of Ridge here. But then Ridge hits him with a belly to belly on the ramp, and then they pull out a stretcher. It's even got like a button that he pushes. He must have been trained.
The ones that go up and down. Yeah.
He's like, oh, nice. And then he grabs that and brings it to the ring. But then Andre like jumps off of it with like a Thez press, which looked great. But they finally get back into the ring, and Ridge hits a suplex into a power slam and then tries to like roll him back onto the stretcher. There's a chair brought into the ring, and Chase hits him with a drop toe hold into the chair, which looked great. And then there's kendo sticks all around, and shout out Andre Chase, who hits not just a Russian leg sweep, but a white Russian leg sweep with the kendo sticks here. They really are getting ready for that ECW arena show. And then hits the Chase U stomps with the whole crowd doing the Chase U. This is when Booker T on commentary yet again, all these years later, is still saying that Chase is running a Ponzi scheme with his school. It's like, I don't know how real that school even is. He might not be wrong. They start brawling ringside again. The stretcher is involved, and Ridge keeps like slamming him onto the stretcher. Eventually, the crowd start to chant, "We want pumpkins here." And Ridge grabs a pumpkin and goes to hit it with him. But Andre takes the pumpkin from him, and he hits him with it. And the crowd goes wild. One of the biggest pops of the night.
This is going to have quite the bruise, isn't it? Pumpkin to your ribs.
Okay, like a full-on pumpkin, ungutted, uncarved, like is pretty heavy.
Yeah.
It could like give you some damage. If it's like a carved Jack Leonard, it would probably like shatter or whatever, break. But yeah, the crowd go nuts for pumpkins, which would be a reoccurring theme later on. But a great moment where they were really reacting to that. Chase tries to put Ridge into the ambulance here, and this is when it's very Halloween Michael Myers, as Ridge's hand comes through the back of the ambulance, raking the eye of Chase here, just like Michael Myers in the beginning of Halloween. And then he guillotine slingshots Chase into like the car door here, hits him with that Redeemer DDT, and then throws Chase into the back of the ambulance and closes the door. And Ridge Holland beats Andre Chase in 14 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I didn't think a whole lot of this, to be honest. The crowd were having fun with the gimmickry and the pumpkins, but quite a weak ending for an ambulance match. And it's rare to see the heel win an ambulance match. And I'm thinking things in the past, we've had like, what, the FU on top of the ambulance. I think so. Didn't Kane go through the ambulance once? And there's normally a bit more of a stunt to finally put the person away, not a DDT on the floor and then just throw you. And Chase wasn't even, as soon as it was closed, you could see him in the window, like trying to get out. It didn't really feel very definitive. Was surprised we didn't have Chase U involvement, but then I think we had the family involvement in the first match, and it might be a little repetitive.
All these good guys, baby faces with their friends helping them.
Yeah, and exactly. It just kind of felt like we've made this decision going with Ridge and Bully and maybe Ridge and Trick, so he should probably win this feud. But for the story, I think Chase should have won this and had a bit more of a final end to this thing. It just felt flat by the end of it.
I really got into the Chase U story in the past few months. Like, they've done such a good job again with them winning the titles, the stuff with Duke before that, but Ridge, it's been a real like project of them to really try different things with him, and I feel like he's just at this level, and he's kind of been at this level, and they keep trying, and it's just like and I don't think this match delivered on like all the story. I'd say like even the last few weeks, several weeks, the story has kind of fizzled out. Even my sick, twisted enjoyment of the Chase U storyline, as much as I've loved it, the last little while, I feel like they've missed some steps and completely like dropped the ball on it a little bit. And I think it's because they were trying to get Ridge over, when in doing so, you actually organically got Duke and Andre over as way bigger stars. Yeah. And I think you're kind of fumbling that with this.
I think the whole Chase return as well. I feel he could have come back with a more of an edge. Yeah. You know, maybe come back. He's shaved his head and he's killer Chase or something.
No, they do that on the other show. They shave their
heads. True. But yeah, it just so what, Ridge Holland's beaten them all twice, essentially.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, yeah, like, is this the storyline's over?
Over. It's
yeah,
done
for them.
It's done.
But then like Chase, you, they can still have a like a vindication.
They'll regroup, thing, but they're like, ah, oh, we've lost, and they'll pull themselves.
At least we didn't get a Thea turn.
Yes.
My heart,
we didn't get Thea full stop.
We didn't get her at all. Like, my heart wouldn't have been able to take that. No. So yeah, this one that didn't necessarily, like, it wasn't bad by any means. It just like,
yeah,
it was just kind of there. It felt like a TV match for sure, but nice nod to horror movies with the ambulance. We get a commercial for the 2300 Arena, November 6th, which I may have already like sold out. I'm not quite sure, but
so, yeah.
Anyone going, please send us in some live report notes. If you are planning on going, should be quite awesome. And are we getting Javon Evans versus RVD? Are we getting Brooks Jensen, Sandman? Because I don't know if you've seen, he's been calling out the Sandman.
Oh, really?
I think he's getting caned on that Wednesday.
Yeah, maybe not a match, but yeah, yeah, Sandman comes out after the match.
Yeah, and canes him.
Just sure. Buy Metallica, you cowards.
Yeah, just one time. Let him play it one time.
Coming up this month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we are bringing you three editions of Rewind Away, beginning with New Japan's Sakura Genesis from April of 2017 and the highly controversial match between Kazuchika Okada and Katsuyori Shibata. Later this month, we'll go back to October of 1987 with WWF's Saturday Night's main event on NBC, including title matches between Hulk Hogan and Sika, Honky Tonk Man against Randy Savage, and the Hart Foundation facing the Young Stallions. The month rounds out with WWE's Money in the Bank 2011. With CM Punk challenging John Cena for the WWE Championship in Chicago after the pipe bomb promo. Plus, Karen Peterson presents a special show focusing on the Queen of Villains on Netflix, weekly editions of Rewind to SmackDown and Collision Course, ad-free shows, news and audio updates sent directly to your email, and so much more beginning at $6 per month, which provides instant 30-day access and extensive archives going back to 2017. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
We go to a video for Nikita. Maybe this was because it was the network that we were watching, but she's ready to make a pounce back in NXT. Mm. And I love this in her whole promo. She mentions, I'm a wrestler, I'm a rapper, I'm a content creator. And yeah. I just straight up vibe.
Straight up vibe.
I just straight up vibe. Hey, how you doing? What do you do?
I just vibe.
Oh, hey, what's it going? What's your name? Oh, what do you do for a living? I just straight up vibe. I'm going to use that one. Going forward. Put that on the shirt. I just straight up vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we go to Fraxium backstage. We see a video from earlier this week somewhere in the PC. They're training. Well, at least we see Frazier is. He's running the ropes like a bullet here. And Axiom says, hey, man, slow down. And Frazier's like, what did you just say? Don't ever tell me to slow down. And that's his thing, right? And he goes, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And Frazier says, you know what? I'm sorry, too, about that whole Javon things. Maybe I just got a little too hot-headed. And he goes, ah, it's okay. I'm used to your hot head. Ever since you got that talk from Randy Orton, you've taken it to your head and you just kind of taken it too close to the heart. And Frazier's like, all right. Well, at least we can train. And Axiom says, yeah, we've got to train extra hard because I got to take care of what your mouth gets us into. And then he's like, what are you trying to say?
There was a great line when Frazier goes, can you be any more condescending? And Axiom goes, yes, but then I would be you.
So yes. Does Fraxium get along? No, but we'll see them put the titles on the line on Tuesday. We go backstage and Ava is there and she's talking about the Crown Jewel show coming up next Saturday and then mentions that William Regal will be in Lexus King's Corner. And then also the 2300 ECW Arena, one match has officially been announced here and it will be Lola Vice versus Jada Parker with special guest referee, ECW legend, Dawn Marie.
Yeah.
For a hardcore match.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Special referee Dawn Marie. Hey, that rhymes. Yeah, that's cool. I think that's not someone, you know, quite often we usually get, well, we know we're getting Bubba Ray it's normally what Bubba Ray and Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, it's so
going a bit more in the depths of ECW, getting Dawn Marie for this women's match and making the women feel as part of this sort of unofficial ECW tribute show they're doing on a Wednesday night. I think it's really cool. She's a nurse now, apparently.
Dawn Marie?
Yeah.
She didn't do a good job of nursing Tori Wilson's dad.
No.
If I remember correctly. I think she kind of killed him.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why she became a nurse. Can't let that happen again.
I could have saved him.
If only I knew how
I'm pretty sure it was her fault.
Nurse.
Gave him a heart attack.
Yeah.
Great storyline. Yeah. So that's our first match announced is Lola and Jada with Dawn Marie.
Yes.
The ECW arena.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Pretty cool. We go to our next match. It's the gauntlet match. North American Women's Championship on the line. Kalani Jordan has to face all three members of Fatal Influence, starting off by facing Jasmine Nix, a.k.a. dressed as the devil here.
Right.
A really popular costume always. It's just the devil. No, yeah. Angels, devils. It's
the most evil entity.
Halloween is just the most best time of year. You get Kalani dressed as, I think, Poison Ivy here.
Right.
Nix is the devil. JC was just JC, I think.
And I think Fallon was Fallon, right?
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, that's cool. So Nix versus Kalani early on here. Kalani hits her like lucha style arm drags out of the ropes. And then an acai moonsault to the outside, which was really nice. Back in the ring, Nix comes back with a penalty kick to like the chest here for a near count. And then goes for a fisherman buster, which was not quite a perfect plex, I think, as Vic called it there. Kalani then hits her with the 450 splash and pins her. So in just like 3 or 4 minutes there, getting rid of Jasmine Nix. But this is what now starts for the second match as JC Jane comes out. Lonnie hits a corkscrew plancha to quickly take her down, but then JC comes back, setting Lonnie up in a tree of woe and a cannonball, followed up by a senton for a near fall. There's then a pop-up knee from JC, and then a running neck breaker for a near fall. She starts putting the boots to Kalani again, but Kalani counters one of her moves and hits a roll-up here for the 1-2-3, and Kalani pins JC, eliminating her, but right after the bell, JC hits her with that forearm strike and then kind of laughs here as Fallon Henley starts running down to the ring and Booker and Vic are like, oh, this was their whole plan all along. Just like beat her up. And then Fallon comes in for the scraps, but Kalani is still resilient, fights back. Fallon hits her suplex out of the corner and a running elbow for a near fall. Lonnie blocks the suplex again and hits like a leg drop DDT, kind of like Melina used to do her finisher there, which was pretty cool. They then knock each other down. There's a forearm exchange. There's like the Tajiri spring elbow from Kalani. Goes for it a second time, but it's blocked. There's a blockbuster from Henley. And then the one-of-a-kind moonsault from Kalani. But Nix distracts the referee, so he's not counting the pin. When he finally does, it allows so much time for Fallon to kick out of it. When Kalani goes for the 450, now JC is up on the apron. And the 450 is blocked. And Fallon hits the Shining Wizard and pins Kalani to become the new Women's North American Champion.
I'm really happy for Fallon.
Hell yeah.
We've been big, big fans of Fallon.
Yeehaw, bitch.
I know what she had the tag run briefly with...
Right.
What's her face? Business.
Oh, Kalani woman. Jordan.
No,
sorry. Who are you talking about? You're talking about Fallon.
Fallon, yes.
Oh, well, Fallon was with Kalani as well as a tag team.
No, that's but when she, saying. I'm saying championship wise.
Oh, yeah, right.
We had the little tag championship run.
Oh,
Kiana James,
sorry.
But see her finally win singles gold is great. Like we're super high on her. I do think the gauntlet stip dragged this down for me. They had 14 minutes, but this is 14 minutes divided by three matches essentially. And I really just wanted to see Fallon and Kalani go for that time because I think they could have put on a really good match. Whereas instead we got three pretty quick matches where not a whole lot happened and then just going to the finish. So I would like to see these two. I imagine these two will run it back at some point and
run it straight
and have a bit more time and actually show us what you can do. Cause I was a little disappointed here to be honest.
Yeah. We really love Fallon. Yeehaw, bitch, indeed. Because like we've been following and really following and loving everything she's been doing. And I see big things for her in WWE. And it took turning her heel, giving her a bit of an attitude, a different character to kind of really maybe flesh out and work on the character. With the coat, the new friends, everything kind of coming full into gear. Like, I like this stable more than I like Toxic Attraction.
Oh, it's way better, yeah.
And we had Toxic Attraction for like over a year at one point. It was just so like...
overkill.
Yeah, and this already is way better because like Fallon's a fantastic wrestler.
Yeah.
So I felt like we got cheated out of like a proper match, which Kalani and Fallon could probably really put on and deliver. So I think we should go back to like a rematch with just the one-on-one. But the reason they did it was to get over like the heel, and she needed her friends to beat her, et cetera, et cetera. So,
but you could do that in a singles
match.
Yeah,
you could have just had them interfere anyways, yeah. Right? Like, so, but I guess because of the heel tactic, kayfabe wise, whatever. But I didn't necessarily think it got to like anything that I know that these two could probably really put on something great, but I didn't like hate it. But I'm really happy for Fallon as well.
Yeah.
So that kind of moves that title in a new direction, because as Fatal Influence are celebrating, the lights go out yet again, and the video for Zarya plays, but she's behind them, and she attacks Fatal Influence, a headbutt to JC and Nyx, and then hits an F5 to Fallon and stands tall. So Zarya, as they then say that she will be making her in-ring debut on this Tuesday's NXT, but yeah, letting it be known she wants both those titles.
Yeah, interesting that she's in both title pictures right away.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what the follow-up is
here. This looks great. Like, this presentation of this woman like looks kind of scary with the face paint and looks kind of like a whole unit. So I'm very interested to see what we get out of Zarya here. Which I'm seeing they didn't want to even try to trademark Delta.
Right.
They're like, that's a pretty well known
brand.
Yeah. So maybe it was Zarya. But I'm down. I'm down. She so far looks pretty impressive. We go backstage and we see the family. They're very happy. They did it. Tony D says, we all did it. I love my family, but I want to definitely shout out Rizzo. You're the real champ here. And she says, yeah. And I know who attacked me on Tuesday. And this Tuesday, I'm going to go out and get her. I'm going to come for her. So I'm coming for you. And then Tony says, all right, let's go out. We got to go out and celebrate. Let's go eat. Let's go party. Let's go. And this is when they announced not only is the tag title match, the Zarya in-ring debut, and the Heritage Cup is all on Tuesday night.
And I imagine it's Nikita Lyons who Rizzo is calling out.
Yes, absolutely. With the whole Oba Femi thing from last week. We get a recap of Bully Ray and Dave from Busted Open with Ridge. And then it happens again, where Ridge Holland is interrupting them one more time. And he's like, see, I told you I was going to murder Andre Chase. And Bully Bubba Ray says, hey, you interrupted me the first time, I let it go, but this time you're not gonna do it again. It was just kind of a weird thing. It's like
strike two.
Yeah, it's like, hey, like,
you fuck up once more, I'm coming.
What are you doing here? So Bully kind of, which right away we assume, oh, are we going to Bully versus Ridge at the ECW arena? We'll get there with what we definitely will be getting at the ECW arena. But we go to Booker T and Vic Joseph on the Halloween Havoc set. We didn't really talk, but they didn't have the WCW pumpkin, even though it's like in the logo, but they had a graveyard. They
had some good
spooky
enough
stuff.
Dry ice. Yeah.
Booker and Vic are talking about the Devil's Playground match coming up when one of the like set pieces open up and Tatum Paxley comes out. I guess it's that case she's been living in this whole time. She scares Booker here. It's like, Tatum, what are you doing here? And she says that like, hey, sorry, I've been like locked up. When Ava comes out, I guess she's been concerned because her talent's been missing. And she says like, hey, I hope you're okay. We got to get people to check on you. And Tatum says, I want a match. And she spins the wheel and says, Wendy Chu, me and you are going to have a, what does it land on? Casket match.
Yeah.
So a casket match on Tuesday night.
I like that they're continuing the Halloween theme through to Tuesday. Halloween is on Thursday, so why not? And I think we kind of saw it going this way after Wendy locked her up on last week.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't have a case match. No. It has to be a casket match. Still kind of bummed. No Coal Miner.
Maybe next year.
He's going to call it the Coal Miner's Daughter match, but I think that's is that a movie? We go to our main event, the NXT Championship on the line. The champ, Trick Williams, putting on against Ethan Page in the Devil's Playground match. Now, did you see the, remember Trick Williams did like a rap video in for the feud a few months ago?
Right.
He did a new one. There's a new video this time from Ethan Page that came out a few days ago where he's like the devil because it's the Devil's Playground match and basically rapping in this video, calling out Trick Williams. Mm. So I believe yesterday Trick put out a like response.
Oh, I've missed all of this.
And in the video, because Ethan's video is talking about how he's the devil and like dressed up as the devil and like the Devil's Playground. So Ethan's, that's his video. Trick does a video in a church with a choir with Reverend Devon.
Oh, amazing.
Basically now rebutting like, yeah, well, like evil will overtake the devil and like pretty much a sermon, Sunday service here on Halloween.
Nice.
So, and this was not really like Vic mentions it a little bit, but they didn't really like show it or anything. I'd say my one thing about these videos is like if they were to do these things again down the line, if Trick or whatever, like air them.
Yeah,
like they should totally have aired these on Tuesday and then like continue on, because it's kind of maybe just something they did as like a pet project on their own time and everything, but it worked. It got people like,
oh, I wish I saw this.
Yeah. Well, the match starts off, and in the introductions here, Ethan Page comes out in some like Halloween colored gear, I guess you could say. Like there was like pumpkin trim and like things like that.
A little bit, nothing crazy.
But Trick Williams comes out, or I should say Trick Willy Wonka makes his way to the ring. And I guess the costume of the night here, considering people have called him that and he's called himself that. But he's got the golden championship here. Trick Willy Wonka with the purple gear, the purple coat, the top hat, the cane.
All I'll say is he gave this hat away way too quick. And just have that. Let us get the close up, because I feel like he walked out and then he'd given the hat and cane away immediately. Yeah, but look fantastic. He can pull off Willy Wonka for sure. Yeah.
Just hilarious that this is like he got gear made with this on, with like the gold.
He's got the golden ticket on his trunk as well.
Yeah. So Trick Willy Wonka taking on Ethan Page. And during the introductions, Page jumps him here, and this match starts right away. It's no DQ, Devil's Playground, not a Hell in the Cell. That's another Devil's Playground. They start to fight here, and Page grabs a chair. Trick grabs a chair, and then they start having a chair fight here. Eventually, Ethan yells at Vic Joseph and says, "You look like a dumbass," and grabs a jack-o'-lantern. Booker T just corpses here laughing. He's like, "Yeah, you really do. I thought it was a nice jacket, Vic."
Yeah, I liked it.
Vic, you look.
Our karaoke guy has this suit.
The pumpkin suit? Yeah. They sell it at Spirit. So.
Nice.
Yeah. But like, still, Vic, I think it looked good. Don't let Booker hold you down, Vic.
Booker's bullying you,
Vic. I've come to really love Vic Joseph.
Vic's great.
Yeah, I love him. They're then fighting, and Ethan Page grabs the jack-o'-lantern. So, of course, the crowd, who want pumpkins, chant again. And Trick like punches Page, so the pumpkin flies up in the air, and Trick catches it and then realizes, oh, there's a conveniently big hole at the bottom of a pumpkin. So shoves it onto Ethan's head and then hits him with a pump kick, which just like Billy Corgan's this thing here, just smashing the pumpkin all over his head, and then tries to pin him, but Page kicks out of it. They start to brawl through the crowd at one point. There's a backdrop onto a trash can. And then Page back ringside puts a chair around Trick's neck and then smacks it against the ring post. And he starts beating down on him here. At one point, Trick comes back with a series of leg lariats and knees and the trick shot. But the ref starts to count and Ethan puts his foot on the rope. And I'm not sure if it's the ref who's like, wait a second, there's false count anywhere, no rope break in this.
So the ref stops the count and then is like, whoops. And then Page kicks out. And whether this was a mistake or not, remember, it's rope. You can have like no DQ matches where the pins only take place in the ring. Rope breaks matter.
Yeah.
Because as soon as your foot's on the rope, you're out of the ring.
Right.
Resist false count anywhere. I think Vic covered it well, because he was then going, Page has been complaining about all the refereeing around here, and now the bad refereeing was in his favor.
Yeah. Vic did a good save with that. Yeah, but
it's habitual, you know. Like you have your ring awareness, and
it was a bit awkward for sure. But it happens. It's live and everything. But the match continues on here, and we see that Trick now is sent into like the. Oh, sorry. At one point, Ethan Page grabs a bag a sack. Mm-hmm. And we know what that means in wrestling. Nuts and bolts. What, were you expecting something else?
I did like how Vic sort of covered it again by going, yeah, these are under the ring because they're the nuts and the bolts to put the ring together.
I think it's just a little bit like, oh.
I'm pretty sure I heard a very faint boo from this crowd as well, who were expecting a thumbtack.
There was a boo.
And then I'm sure they saw it on the screen and it was like,
Yeah, that was my reaction.
Yeah.
So a bit of a weird step here, but Ethan eventually gets countered and he's backdropped onto the nuts and bolts. And even it's like, I'm sure it hurts, but it doesn't necessarily scream like Lego would hurt more than those things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Eventually Trick is sent to the outside and Paige rams the steps onto him. And then when it cuts back to Trick, he has just got a bloody mouth here. Mm. I don't know what happened, but maybe he ate something bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looked like it may have been a blood capsule.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Because the whole thing of the promo on Tuesday was you're going to taste your own blood and all that kind of stuff. So Trick is tasting his own blood, kind of. And then Ethan sets him up for the Ego's Edge through the commentary desk here. And then the refs and the docs are all checking on Trick. They're like, hey, look, you're like spitting out blood. Like you just got put to the table. You can't continue this match. And Trick says, no, I'm going to continue this. So he's spitting out this blood. He gets back in the ring. But Paige body slams him like onto the steps in the ring, which was pretty nasty. And then goes to set up like more steps here. But instead, Trick hits him with the bookend onto the steps. But Paige kicks out of that and then low blows Trick here and goes to just nail him with the steps again. But then Trick low blows him, stooping down to his level, and then nails him with the steel steps, hits the running Trick shot knee and pins Ethan Paige to retain the NXT title. In I think about 14 minutes or 15 minutes, 52 seconds there.
Yeah, like still, I'll start this. I think this is the best match of the three they've had.
Yeah.
But I still didn't really like it. I think I thought the promo, the go home segment last week, they really sold this, that it could be a little bit more brutal than we're used to. And I don't even have a problem with using fake blood, but as long as I feel that it's come from something that would make you bleed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing. I'm like, wait, what? Why is he bleeding from the mouth here? It felt a little unearned. I don't think these two have particularly good chemistry together. And I'm kind of just glad it's got to be done now, these two.
Yeah.
I don't know what's next for Ethan Paige coming out of this, but it just didn't really hit for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think this may be the best one-on-one encounter that we've seen from Paige and Trick, but they literally did a promo, a good job on Tuesday, basically saying like, hey, this is we're going to really kill each other this time. Like enough with the games. But then they're putting out rap videos, which I'm like, okay, that's cool and creative. But then you really didn't do anything.
I hate as well. And I think the whole issue with Ethan Paige since he's come in has been way too much comedy. He had the comedy feud with Oro Mensah, and you're starting off the match here putting pumpkins on each other's heads. And I think that's fun in wrestling, but not for your main title.
Yeah.
This title we've seen, what, like the whole Ciampa Gargano series, and think of all the matches we've had for this title over the years, and now we're putting pumpkins on each other's head.
Yeah.
Have that for Lexus King Charlie Dempsey on Tuesday, you know, that kind of thing. Not your world title. And it just, I don't want ha-ha in the main event. And it, yeah, just doesn't do it for me, these guys.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily think it was bad by any means, but it wasn't anything that I'll like really remember or ever kind of watch back or kind of forget about. I think Trick has been really good with the whole character work, and you know, promo wise he's fantastic. He's such a like larger than life character, but a few of these matches in a row is just kind of the same thing, and it's like a little boring where I'm like, okay, but like what's the like next step? And I feel like we've just been in that same position, the same gear.
We've
for
seen in
while.
The past, Paige's best opponents are, well, like Darby Allin,
someone he
can really use his size and his muscle against and throw around. Whereas Trick is bigger than him, so it's not playing to Ethan Paige's strengths. And I think Trick being still relatively new to this, his best matches have been against the likes of an Ilya Dragunov or a Pete Dunne, someone who's like very technically proficient and can bring a bit more of that brutality out, like the heavy hitting style. But he didn't surprisingly have good chemistry with Melo. And I just don't think these two work well together.
Yeah, it didn't really hit for me. You know what? This match felt like a TV match. And I felt like that for a lot of the matches on this show, actually. I'd say I was thumbs in the middle with this show. I'm not walking away being like, oh, that really bombed and sucked. I'm just coming out like this felt like it was a TV special.
It could have been the Tuesday night Hell in Havoc.
Yeah,
I think the first match really felt like an NXT special match. I thought that was great. I enjoyed the women's tag match, although you're lacking maybe the stakes of what are involved with it. But I thought all four women worked really hard in that one and put on an entertaining match. It then kind of dragged down for me, this show. And as you said, nothing was bad on this show, but the last three matches really weren't great.
Yeah. I really liked the first kind of half of the show and then kind of dropped. Well, it didn't also end there because after the match, Trick Williams is celebrating with the NXT championship when he is attacked from behind by Ridge Holland. And after that, Ethan Page gets in his face like, hey, what are you doing? And Ridge says, I'm attacking him. I'm making a name for myself. And Ethan says, yeah, well, if you're going to attack him, you got to do it right. So they both beat down on Trick Williams here. As Bubba Ray Dudley gets in the ring and he says, yeah, I told you not to mess with me. And now you're messing with him. I got a problem with that. So he attacks Ridge and Ethan. He's in for the save for Trick and sends them out of the ring. And he saves Trick. And the show goes off the air.
I mean, you said they should have aired the video. Trick having an alliance with D-Von and Bubba Ray coming to help out D-Von's mate here, right?
Yeah.
They're setting up the Philly show. They're going to have some ECW alumni come down. I get why they're doing it, but ending the pay-per-view with
Bubba Ray
and Ridge Holland does not excite me.
Not at all.
For sure. For a TV special, having whether we go for a tag, what, Trick and Bubba against Paige and Ridge,
match.
Or whether we just have Ridge and Bubba one-on-one.
No, I see it's a tag.
You
match.
See it as the tag. Cool. Maybe a tables match or whatever. Like, fine. But closing the event like that.
Yeah.
I think you could have maybe done something with Bully and Ridge right after the ambulance match. You know, he closes the door and then he pulls him out and he's beating him up. And then Bubba comes out and you have it as a mid-show thing and you go, cool. It just weird visual Trick now standing tall with Bubba Ray Dudley.
Bully Ray.
It kind of made me go, ugh, at the end of this show. And I've been really high on NXT recently.
We've both been pretty high on NXT. And with the jump to CW, like, it's kind of new and exciting. But I haven't necessarily come out of each show like, wow, that was amazing. There's been, like, lots of hits and misses. And, yeah, in 2024, I'm not knocking Bubba Ray. I love Bubba Ray, Bully Ray. I still haven't seen what I heard is a match of the year contender against Jinder from Maple Leaf Wrestling. I need to check that out. But like, I just think this is a bit of a weak sauce ending. Like, oh, wait, we're going to the ECW arena. What legends can we get? It's always Bubba, Dreamer, like, who, I guess who else even is kicking around. But I just feel like, yeah. Also, it's Ridge. They're really trying to make Ridge happen. Like, they're really pushing that. And
I mean, I'm just hoping this is a TV feud and not Ridge versus Trick Williams at Deadline, because that does not sound
Of a pretty average, dare I say, mid show here for me personally. You left it with a even sour taste in my mouth.
It's one of the issues that we have been talking about is there aren't the top level heels to face Trick being this champion.
Yeah.
They've had to turn Wes Lee heel. Which
is weird.
Which is, I imagine, a match we're going to get, Trick and Wes. They kind of interacted a little bit over the last few weeks. That's something we'll be getting down the line. And I guess you look around and it's Ridge Holland. We've just got Obafemi out of that North American division. I'm sure he's someone who could challenge. But the heels are not particularly exciting right now in NXT. No. So I think it's like, yeah, I guess Ridge is the guy to go with right now, which is just not exciting.
We were watching this together, and then like Trick is celebrating with the title, and we're both like kind of joking, like, oh, maybe, you know, Ricky Starks comes out and attacks Trick, and we're like, ah, it probably can't happen. Maybe he's like still under contract. And instead, his show ends with Bully Ray.
Yeah.
We're just like, oh, okay.
That being said, I want to read a tweet from Jordan Goodman, who is on this network.
Okay.
He does Detox and the Wellness Policy and used to work with Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yeah.
And said, good on a major company for utilizing Bully Ray and Busted Open Radio. 2300 is an obvious fit. Show gets 10 days of radio promo. All talent will benefit working with Bully. He does good business, was generous with talent and staff in ROH who were smart enough to learn. And then I had to ask him privately, is this you being silly or are you being sincere? And he's like, no. He's great. And
Jordan, are you in danger? Does Bully Ray have a gun to your head somewhere?
But yeah, he said a lot of people think he's a dick, but he's pretty good to work with these people. So
I have no like ill will. I actually think he's pretty good. And I'm just like, this is not how we just thought the pay-per-view would end with Ridge Holland being attacked by Bubba Ray.
This whole CW thing, like a few weeks ago, we were fancy booking the CW debut and all of that, and we were seeing, you know, you're gonna have Motor City Machine Guns against Fraxium on one of the shows. You're going to get Ricky Starks and Daniel Garcia showing up. And yeah, we get Bubba. Cool. Bubba and Dawn Marie.
Okay. as long as I get Kimona Wanalea, that's all. I'll be happy. But Javon Evans also in that backstage thing had photos in his locker, and it had photo of RVD, so like people are assuming that
we are
going to get that match. So I do hope we get Javon versus RVD. I do think we're getting Sandman caning Brooks Jensen,
right?
Maybe the FBI Nunzio, Lil Guido with Tony D and the family.
Yeah,
there's a few things you could do with some people. Rhino, fresh off his TNA Hall of Fame, he could show. He's always showing up at these kinds of.
Well, things. You've got the TNA connection now, so there's any of those guys we can.
Obafemi versus Rhino.
All right.
Table. Oh, I guess there already is a tables match that night. But.
We need a Monsters Ball match.
Monsters. Oh, that's TNA. Yeah. No, we need an ECW 2 out of 3 falls match. What we need.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, that's in a few weeks. That's November 6th, a Wednesday night, a rare Wednesday. We will be going live right after that show. We go live every Tuesday here on Post Wrestling, but that will be a Wednesday night. So tune in for that rare occasion. But yeah, middle of the road show for me.
Yeah, thumbs in the middle too.
Felt like a bit of a TV special. I didn't hate anything, but well, actually I did kind of hate the ending. Ridge Holland, I'm not booing you because of your effective heel work. I'm just booing you because I don't really care about what is going on in this story or whatever's happening. But yeah, I think we're kind of on the same page with this show.
Well, that's what we thought. We do throw up a feedback thread every Tuesday night or Wednesdays, if they're on a Wednesday, for NXT over on our Facebook group. So please find the Poison Rana page on Facebook, and that will lead you to our private group, and we'd love you to join.
Yes, we have fun chats and all sorts of nice things.
And we start with Fire Frank, who says, a mostly solid Halloween Havoc show tonight in Hershey. I enjoyed most of it. Shout out Tony D and the family getting their revenge in a wild match. Very happy for Fallon finally getting gold. Poor Mr. Chase. One last shout out to Mr. Regal and Lexus's beard.
Nice. Nice. Thank you, Frank. We go to Dylan Grayson, who writes in, I get that we're headed to the ECW arena in a few weeks, but do we really need the NXT champion to be saved by a 53-year-old Bubba Ray Dudley? Yeah. Yeah. He ends with, what a stupid ending to an otherwise good show.
Fair enough.
Completely agree, Dylan.
Go to Magan, who says, a decent show. Having three hardcore style matches that were too similar made it hard for any of them to stand out. Femi D'Angelo did deliver a good blow off to firmly set Oba onto bigger and better things. Zaria was all over the pay-per-view. Fallon Henley got her first title. She earned that for being such consistent talent, too. Bad she's going to get eaten alive by the Aussie Destroyer. The one real standout was the women's tag match. Cora Jade came to work, and she didn't look out of place being around Roxy, Julia, and Stephanie. Vaquer, in particular, looked excellent, and Julia got her shit in. The Philly show a week from Wednesday can't lean on too much nostalgia. Getting Dawn Marie is a good move, but is there any use for Bubba Ray in 2024? It's not a joke anymore. The women's roster is light years ahead of the main roster.
It's not a joke. It's not.
I think for a one-off, you can heavily lean into the nostalgia. I think
for one event, I just think it's like you're basically using the pay-per-view just to promote that show. And it's like, well, just this pay-per-view could have
TV.
Yeah, I guess.
You want those ratings.
Thank you, Megan. And then finally go to Manny from Pacoima, who writes in a pretty solid PLE.
I thought it said pie.
I thought it said pie as well. Yeah. PLE. Glad to see Fallon finally hold singles gold bars. The women's tag match was, as Booker says, good. Love seeing Stephanie with the sugar skull makeup and using a tornillo to end the match. In terms of presence and audience reaction, do you feel Stephanie has outshined Julia? How hardcore do you think Lola Jada match will get? And will it just be a standard WWE hardcore?
I think we haven't seen a lot from Julia or Stephanie yet, but I think Stephanie has in ring shone more than Julia so far.
Yeah.
I think Julia, I'm kind of waiting for a good sort of singles 15 plus minute match against the right opponent. Love Chelsea Green, but you're not going to get the kind of stuff we were used to in Stardom with Chelsea Green taking on Julia, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of agree. I do think Stephanie's outshone Julia so far.
I do agree with that. And I do think we'll get the WWE's hardcore is what we got tonight. Yep. Not everything can be Drew and Punk in the Cell. Mm. Like kendo sticks and chairs is pretty much what
pumpkins.
What we're going to get. Yeah, we got pumpkins tonight. That was another thing, like in the main event. How many times do we see clips of WWE in the past doing like pumpkin street fights or Halloween street fights? And they're, you know, Randy's busting a pumpkin over some jobber's head.
It's a jobber.
It was a jobber thing. Yeah. And they're doing it in the main title match. It was just kind of a silly thing there. But there you go. Thanks for writing in there. I also see Ivan in the YouTube chat says he's looking for a BWO reunion at the 23 arena. That would be.
Have we got any current NXT people who like blue?
Blue Pants isn't there anymore, right?
No.
No one really loves blue as much blue? As Blue Meanie.
Mia Yim used to love blue, but she's on main roster.
Right. Yeah. She? Yeah. True. Looking forward to that ECW arena show. We were there this year and that arena has been totally revamped. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Iconic venue. So I'm sure they'll do some old versus new kind of things that we get there. But that was Halloween Havoc. Let us know on some of the things we said. Do you agree, disagree? At Poison Rana Pod on X and Instagram. Go give us a follow and search Poison Rana in your podcast app and hit that follow or subscribe to all the other shows that we do. We will be back Tuesday, as we said, to chat about NXT and the coffin match and William Regal, et cetera, et cetera. But we will be on Wednesday live for that after the world changes after election night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Shout out all my Puerto Rican listeners out there. We love you very, very much. If you've been following the news, appreciate you. Love you.
I know it's Halloween, but the real scary time is in a couple of weeks.
Horror.
Time. Yeah.
It's this goofy, silly reality show that us Canadians have been watching for the past little while. It's slowly turning into a horror movie.
Yeah.
Just a little bit there. But check out all the other shows that we got going on. If you love Spooky Season, definitely check out our patreon.com/poisonrana. $5 to become a friend for a month's access. You get our best match ever machine guns. We're talking about the new WWE champions, the Motor City Machine Guns, where we did a playlist of matches. Best match ever Abyss coming out this week. Halloween Havoc 1995 review, possibly one of the worst shows we've ever reviewed, in my opinion. The Monster Truck match. That was the Yeti.
Pretty awful.
It was bad. So listen to our classic Halloween Havoc reviews and our Blair Witch show, our Texas Chainsaw show, lots and lots of podcasts. And it's only $5. So go support us and check out all the other podcasts that we got.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of shows. And again, if you are in Toronto, come to our Loomis night on October 30th at Gabby's downtown Toronto.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Appreciate everyone out there listening in the post-wrestling universe. We thank you. Appreciate all the postmarks out there. Again, also chop-tees.com/poisonrana for the new Lucha Frog of Doom merch drop. Check out all the great new fancy froggy style looking things that we got rocking and send in any photos of the stuff if you be happening. I see someone's already bought some stuff. I see a few
really
coming in already.
So amazing.
Really appreciate the love, guys. Really, really do. So all our NXT friends out there, we'll catch you every Tuesday. We'll see you again soon. I'm myself, Brayden Harrington. You can find me Twitter, Instagram, at the Brady.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And happy Halloween.
Ahoy!